Welcome to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends, part of My Journey of Faith Ministries. I'm Carissa Hartage, and I'm excited to have you join me each week as I chat with friends about the ups and downs of their journeys of faith. You'll become familiar with voices such as Shelley Chandler, Sarah Heer, Rebecca Bean, and more. And you will also hear from stories of women who have experienced victories and struggles, but continue to trust God on their journeys. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. In other words, we were never meant to do life alone. So join us each week for a little bit of encouragement and for strategies to help each other navigate as we continue on the journey together. Hey friends, welcome back to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends, and I'm sitting here today with friend Sarah Heer.
Hello.
Hi Sarah. So we are finishing up our series that we've had where you have just shared such an incredible story. And guys, once again, you have to hear the story in full. So if you have not listened to episodes 6 and 7, please go back and listen to last week's episode and then the week before, because this is a three-part series of Sarah's story, and we're at the end, and you can't miss the beginning, because you won't feel the full weight of what God has done. Mm-hmm. And we don't want you to miss that at all. And so stop right now and go back and listen to parts 1 and part 2 of Sarah's story. And right now we're going to pick back up. And we're wrapping this up today, and we're going to give you just some really, I think, tips and just words that are applicable in a variety of situations. Sarah's situation is very unique. Mm-hmm. And it's even unique. Well, I was going to say it's unique to domestic violence, but maybe it's not.
I don't think it is. Unfortunately, I don't.
Maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. That's a sobering reality.
It really is. Yeah.
And so we want to leave you with hope, because there is always, always hope in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I mean, this is not our home, right? There is always restoration and hope in Jesus, even if it's not here. Mm-hmm. We have eternity with Him, and that's our goal and our focus always, is that we always have hope in Jesus. And so we're going to speak into that as we're wrapping up our time together. But where we left off last time was that you really struggled, and you fill in the dots, but you struggled with not wanting to quit.
Yes.
With even after, if just to catch everybody back up, Sarah was leaving her home. You got to go back and listen to last week, but... Events led up to Sarah being shot by her husband. Mm-hmm. At the time. Mm-hmm. They were married.
Yes.
And they had been separated for a period of time. He was very verbally abusive, had grown at this point to some physical abuse, but primarily verbal. And it escalated to the point where he pulled a gun on her. Mm-hmm. And shot her. And then left her and walked away. Mm-hmm. After he shot her.
Yes.
And the sober, what is now hitting me right now, I am this many years old right now as this is hitting me, mm-hmm. that this isn't rare. That really is sobering, that there are women right now, as we're recording this podcast, who are being hit, mm. who are being hurt, who are being yelled at, who are being told that they are worthless, who are being mocked for their appearance, like mm-hmm. you were, mm-hmm. who are being denigrated and desecrated and ripped apart and having their identities just shredded mm-hmm. at the expense of somebody else's whatever,
power,
addiction,
trip.
Power, mm-hmm. control, mm-hmm. whatever. And they are saying to themselves, I have to stay because
I made a promise.
Okay. And that's why, even after you got shot,
It's so crazy to think about that. You know, I would never give that advice to someone else. But yes, even after I got shot.
What were you thinking?
I still thought, I made a promise.
And you're not saying, I made a promise to him. Because you did.
I am. Yes, I did make that promise to him.
But more so.
More so, I made that promise to God.
Okay.
I believed then, I still believe now, that a marriage is made up of three people, the wife, the husband, and God. And when you, as the wife, are doing everything that you can to pursue God and to pursue your husband, but your husband isn't pursuing you back, there's something wrong with that picture.
Mm.
Like, there's a disconnect. Those cords of three do start to become unwound.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you stay connected to God, but you can see your husband just fall away and turn towards addiction, sin, whatever Satan is grabbing hold of him with.
Absolutely.
And that's awful.
And so you would say, and you had mentioned last time that it took your pastor.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Saying to
someone
you,
to be bold enough to slap me in the face with some words.
Okay. And so what would you... You gave me a really great question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because my... So I came from... And I've spoke about this several times before, but I came from a domestic violence childhood, mm-hmm. right? Where I saw my mom go through a lot of this.
Yeah.
And I, in turn... As an intern in my graduate program, worked at a domestic violence shelter. And watching, I was angry with my mom for a long time for staying. I couldn't understand why. I do know now that that's why, what you just said, she made a promise to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, she didn't want to disappoint God.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let God down.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw... Going through, working at the shelter, listening to these women, listening to their group therapy, what was happening was everybody stays for their own reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something happened to help them finally make the decision that what they were doing was either not safe for them, a lot of times not safe for their kids, mm-hmm. usually that a lot of people get out because of that.
Yeah.
What can we say? Like, what do you recommend if we're in, if we know somebody who is in this situation that we know they're in this situation and we see what's happening and they aren't there yet? Because if you listened to our podcast last week, there are times people are in that situation, but they don't know that it's abuse. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's this thing where you don't realize what's happening at the time
mm-hmm.
until something switches on. Until you get shot or you get put in the hospital or your pastor says that thing that lets you, that frees you from the burden and the guilt. What would you say, number one, to the person listening that's in this situation right now,
mm-hmm.
or to the person who is sitting beside their friend or their sister
mm-hmm.
or their mother that's in the situation right now?
That is such a hard question. I feel like every situation is different. But kind of the same, unfortunately. The thing that my pastor said to me was, you are not the Savior, you cannot save him. And for me, that was my catalyst. That was my turning point of realizing it's not up to me to save him. I don't have to bear that weight. That is a God thing. He is the one that gets to step in and do the saving. And sometimes you just gotta... You got to have some tough love. If you have a spouse that is destroying you, whether that is physical or verbal, maybe it's financial. Maybe they're locking down the bank account and you have to go and beg for cash to get gas in your car. Maybe it is mental of them saying, oh, well, you're crazy. You know, you're just imagining things.
Uh-huh.
That is abuse. And all of those things count. It doesn't have to be someone beating you or
right.
knocking you around. It can be the words. The words, they hurt so much worse.
Yes.
They really do. You know, the words are the things. I remember them now. And I know I talked about this in the last one, but I still, every once in a while, his words will pop into my head. Mm-hmm. And they stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that stinks.
Yeah.
But so as far as advice I would give to another woman in a similar situation, find someone who is going to speak God's truth into your life.
Yes.
Find someone who is going to not tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. So many of us, go ahead. You're gonna say.
And find the person that will believe you.
Yes.
Oh, no matter what. Right? Yeah, yeah. Find the person. And if you don't have that person, we're going to give you Sarah here's information, and I'm going to give you mine also.
Mm-hmm.
This is critical. Find the person that you can reach out to and you can say, hey, this is happening. Is this normal?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that is not a silly question. I don't want people to think that that's a silly question.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been times where people have come to me and said, this is happening. Is this normal?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, my husband is not perfect, but he would never call me stupid.
Never.
He would never make fun of my weight. Mm-hmm. He would never mock me. He would never tell me that I'm crazy for having an opinion,
mm-hmm.
or a value or a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
He would never call me names and just rip me. And he's flawed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We know now that the husband that you have is very healthy, and he would never call you names,
mm-hmm.
and tear you. If somebody's intention is to tear you down so that they can feel some element of control,
mm-hmm.
that's a red flag, and you need to ask somebody else if they experience that. Is that normal? Because when you're in it, it's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. And then if you do that and you ask them, you don't even have to be specific. You can just say, hey, if somebody says these things, is that normal? Like, is that something that you would... that you've heard, mm-hmm. in your relationship or in, mm-hmm. your marriage, pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to that. And then you also said, you've said this to me, if this was your daughter.
Mm-hmm. If your daughter came to you and said, my partner is calling me names, doing these things, all these things, what would you tell her? Sometimes, when we empathize and when we put ourselves in someone else's shoes, it helps us to see the overall picture in a clearer way. It helps us to understand someone else's side of things. You know, you may not be able to see what's going on in your life right now, but put yourself in a friend's shoes. Put yourself in your daughter's shoes. What would you do if they came to you and said, here's what's happening, which are the things that are going on in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell her? Would you say stay, or would you say, you know what, it might be time to go?
Right, right. And talk to other domestic violence survivors.
Mm, I think that is so important. The next morning, I was so fortunate because a representative from an organization showed up on my doorstep. People had been calling her all night and
wow.
saying, you need to call Sarah. You need to go see Sarah. She needs your help. And she showed up at my doorstep. I didn't know this person. She's a stranger to me. But she became my very dear friend. She pushed me, and she, I was on crutches that day, and she forced me into her car. She drove a Fiat. And so
which is like a teeny tiny
right?
car.
So we loaded up in her little bitty car, and she took me down to the sheriff's department, and she sat with me as I filled out my order of protection.
Yes.
And she made sure it was filed that day.
Yep.
And she provided me with an attorney who worked pro bono, and she just paved the way, and it was amazing to be able to be a part of that. And also, I mean, now to be able to help her and to look back and tell my story to help other women who've gone through a similar situation. But just what an amazing organization,
person. And what's the name of that organization?
It's Women's Own Worth. Yes. Women's Own Worth is the organization. And Jawan Archer is the head of that. And there's also Safe Haven in Saline County. And that's the thing that we women don't understand. Well, first of all, we're not going to reach out for help because we are, you know, we are the strong ones.
That's right.
We're the ones that are going to make sure that everything is done, that all the kids are at their practices and that dinner is cooked and that the house is clean. You know, we're going to do everything we can to bend over backwards to make sure things are done, and we're not going to reach out. But this is one of those moments where it's okay. Give yourself permission to be weak, to lay on the floor and cry. I didn't date for a year. I gave myself that time to rebuild, to restore, to allow God to step in and be like, you know what? Your identity has been stripped. And guess what? That means I get to make you a brand new person.
Amen. And that's what he does best.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Did you do counseling?
Oh, I did so much counseling.
Okay. What was your preferred?
So I had a trauma therapist, also provided by Women's Own Worth. Okay. So reach out to her.
And I'm going to tell you what you're experiencing is trauma.
Yes. Very much.
If you're in an abusive relationship in any way, that's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You are being traumatized. Think about if that was your daughter being traumatized.
Well, sure. And don't just think because I got shot that your story is not
good enough. That's right.
Like, yeah, I got shot. But that doesn't mean that you're any less because you've been hit or because you've been verbally smacked around. Your story is trauma and it is just as much. So don't be afraid to reach out and don't be afraid to go talk to someone. Man, therapy helps.
Yes, yes, yes.
I went through 18 months of trauma therapy. I went through a year of therapy with my pastor. I had two different therapists. I wasn't afraid. I was going to talk to everybody.
That's right.
Because I needed the God side, and then I needed the woman side.
And I think that that is the part that is missed for Christians, is that not only, because somewhere our message has got jacked up, right? Somewhere, if you think, if you leave an abusive marriage, you're failing God. We've missed it. Like, we've missed telling you the accurate gospel. And that's devastating. And so not only, and I find that that's the pressure that a lot of Christian women feel, is that they don't want to be a disappointment to God. And they need to be reminded of the truth of the gospel, of who their God really is, and of who Jesus really is, and of how he really feels about you. And so a lot of people will go and they'll get the counseling portion to recover from the trauma, but they miss the spiritual recovery as well. And I think that that's part of the reason why you are so much more whole today, because you really did heal mind, body, and soul. And a lot of people will get the mind, or they'll get the body, but they don't get the soul part, right? And that's that. You can't fully heal without it. You just can't. You just can't. I'll tell you one thing I want to add while we're talking about recovery. And I feel like you can. So let me ask you this. Did you get a lot of grace in the recovery? Like, when you were in the situation, did people get mad at you because you stayed?
No. I don't have those kind of people in my life that Well, first of all, I reached a point where I did not allow any negativity. And so if you were a negative, soul-sucking, toxic person in my life, you were cut off. Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. I was only going to allow positivity to be a part of my life. And so whenever I reached out to people about whether I should stay or whether I should go, you know, 90% of them said, you should go. It's time. But I did have a couple of friends who were those good soul sisters who they weren't trying to be like, no, you should stay because that's what you promised to do. They were trying to make sure that my heart was in the right place and that I was making wise decisions.
Okay.
And listening to them and talking through things with them, they even reached a point of, you know what, hey, it may be that it's time to go. And it may be that it's time to move on to something else.
But they walked alongside you in the journey.
They did.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so what I found working at the domestic violence shelter is that the complexities of domestic violence are so deep that the average return rate is seven times.
I know. Isn't that awful?
And we see that now, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. you're on the other side. And it actually took me, I had mentioned that I had carried a lot of anger towards my mom. Well, working at that shelter actually healed me mm-hmm. and the way I saw her, because it helped me to understand what that scenario does to your mind. Mm-hmm. And I can't reiterate this enough, especially Christian women.
Yes.
I mean, listen to what I'm saying. That we have a problem in our system when we are convincing Christian, when Christian women are thinking they can't leave when they're in danger of being killed, mm-hmm. when they're afraid for their lives because they don't want to disappoint God. That it's an epidemic mm-hmm. among Christianity.
Well, think about it like this. You know, we just use the analogy of what would you tell your daughter if
yes.
she came to you? If you go to your father,
yes.
your Lord God in heaven, if you went to him and he's looking down at you as his daughter, he doesn't want you to be hurting.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to be in this place of trying to please someone just to stay in a marriage or trying to please him. Like, that's
he's already pleased with you,
oh, he's
ladies.
So pleased. He is.
That's what I'm trying to get across. Is he's pleased with you. His pleasure in you comes through his son,
mm-hmm.
not what you do or don't do. I mean, if you're not failing at your marriage, you're going to be failing at something else. I mean, I do it every day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? I fail as a parent. I fail as a friend. I fail putting on my shoes. I mean, good gracious, I fail on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
I love the word glory.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Greek translation, the root of the word glory means full and favorable opinion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he says twice to Jesus, over Jesus Christ, this is my son with whom I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Twice, once at the Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, mm-hmm. and once when he is baptized by John the Baptist. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
That's glory. That word is another word. It's the root for glory. I'm placing my glory on this son. And then it tells us that God looks at us because we're covered by the blood of Jesus mm-hmm. when we give our life to him. He looks at us through the glory of his son.
Mm-hmm.
If he is well pleased with his son and he's looking at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, who he is well pleased with, then he can't help but we be well pleased with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's well pleased with us because of what Jesus did and because we believe in Jesus, not because of our failures or successes on earth. And if you stay in a marriage where you end up getting killed or you end up being a shell of a human being mm-hmm. who can't get up and say who you are anymore, that's not going to make him any more pleased with you.
Yeah.
You have to remember who it is you're serving.
Mm.
And I think that we have got to get across the message to these beautiful faces, our daughters,
mm-hmm.
these women that we're looking at in church, these women who are sitting in marriages, that you don't stay in that marriage to please God. He's pleased with you. He's well pleased with you. Everything else that you do is just a response to the ministry and the call and the purpose that he has in your life. And it is not to be destroyed
mm-hmm.
by another human being. It's just not. It's just not. And you've learned this the hard way.
Unfortunately.
And now you're learning what it's like to be a person of value
yeah.
that values yourself. A person who is valued, who values yourself. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
So what has that been like in this season?
So, again, I took about a year and I was single. I did not do the single things like going out and drinking with a girl. I mean, I might have like, I don't know, once or twice.
You didn't go party at the bar to find you a new man?
No, that is not no.
That's not recovery, right?
I don't
right?
believe that's what we're here for. no, I spent a lot of time with myself. Mm. And I went on hikes by myself. I got very invested in the Hallmark Channel. I love the Hallmark Channel because every movie has a happy ending. And you know what watching those movies does is it's pouring positivity and happy endings into yourself so that all that negativity starts to get pushed away. Mm. You're starting to hear those good words and you're visualizing these good things and it's replacing all of that ugly. Mm. And
beauty. Just, you surrounded yourself with beauty.
I love, yeah. Very much. Candles, I would buy myself all these candles, burn them all over my house just because I wanted to, because it made me feel good and beautiful.
So you found what made you feel happy, you feel good.
I found that joy.
And you mm-hmm. filled yourself up. Mm-hmm. And that can't be separated from your faith, mm-hmm. right? And so what resources did you go to do the same thing, but in a spiritual way?
So I had two different counselors, again, mm-hmm. worked through that. My pastor gave me the book, The Power of the Praying Wife, and I never opened it because I didn't feel like it was the right time for some reason, and I never did. And then that book, it popped up on my shelf a couple months ago. And I'm now remarried to someone who I love and adore, and I'm able to use that book now. So just because someone gives you a resource, I guess in a roundabout way is what I'm trying to say, just because someone gives you a resource doesn't mean it's not going to apply in the future.
Awesome. That
it
is
just
good.
May not apply in that moment that you're in.
Good.
So
that is good.
But lots of books. I did lots of self-motivation. I did affirmations.
Affirmations.
All over my house. I had them everywhere, all over the place. Scripture, words.
Yes.
My word for myself during that time period was restore. Mm. And it's interesting because a couple months before our separation, I went to Waco and went to Magnolia Silos, and they had a giving key there that I just fell in love with. And the word on that key was restore. And at that time, I thought it meant the restoral of my marriage. And I wore it, and it did not end up being the restoral of my marriage. It ended up being the restoral of me.
I mean, if that isn't evidence that your daddy loves you.
Oh, he loves me so much. He gave me jewelry.
Yes.
Yes. So yes. I have that key.
That's precious.
And I wear it on a regular basis just to remind myself of how far I've come.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Oh, that's incredible. Ladies, one more thing I want to leave you with. If all, James says, mercy triumphs, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking through this with a friend and you know what's happening, you know it, and they're not there yet, I love what Sarah just said. There needs to be a lot of grace for your friend. Stay with her. She may go back 7 times.
She may. Mm-hmm.
Don't stop walking every 7 times. Go back and listen. And it's a big call on it's a ministry. Mm-hmm. It's a big call to be that friend and watch your friend suffer. But they're going to watch you and they're going to learn from you may be that one person that's representing the love of Jesus to her. And there's going to be a point, there will be a point where enough is going to be enough. There's going to be a point, but you've got to stay with your friend, pray over your friend, keep pursuing her in Jesus' name, and keep you be the positive affirmations that she needs, because eventually there's going to be a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And keep speaking that truth of Jesus' grace and love into her life, because there's going to be a point where it will click, because our Savior loves us.
Mm.
He delights in us. He lavishes his love and his grace and his mercy on us. And you are worthy of his love simply because he created you as a daughter of the King. And it makes you valuable. It makes you valuable. Is there any final words that you would leave or any hopes that you would have for the women out there listening? Because you're sitting in a much different place today. God gifted you and restored you, but he also gave you, I think he kind of repaid you. I think about the Israelites a lot because you suffered and you struggled, but you strive for obedience and your heart continually was to obey God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even if it was confused at times and you still, your motive was for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that he blesses our hearts when we obey him and seek him first, seek the kingdom first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of given you a season of being blessed in your relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell these women? Let's just speak to the women who are in a season of recovery, who are waiting on their blessing mm-hmm. from God. What would you say, first of all, to the ones who are in that season, and maybe blessing doesn't always look the way it's supposed to in your eyes or in your thoughts? What's your encouragement for these women who have made the decision to walk out and they're in the season of no longer being married, but also no longer being in that position where they're being hurt anymore?
Mm-hmm. I would say to give yourself grace. Society puts so many expectations on us to be a certain way, to be married, to be a mother by a certain point. And we start to bring these expectations onto ourselves, I think, where we have this timetable where we have to be at a certain place at a certain time. And I say to give yourself grace to just be in a relationship with God where it's just you and him, or if you have kids, it's you and him and your kids, and you do what you can to live your life to please him. And it is okay if that is all you do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And one of the things, I love the term self-love. Whenever I was in therapy, I brought up that term and I said, it's kind of selfish. And she said, no. It is self-love.
Mm.
And it's not selfish at all for you to take the time to invest in yourself. I love the analogy of the flight attendant. They always tell you to put on your mask before yes. you help those around you.
Yes.
And they do that for a reason, because they know that us women, we're going to do everything we can to help everybody else. And we're going to be left with nothing, with no air for ourselves. And so I think it's super important for you to fill your cup so that you can pour into the lives of others.
That's right. Nobody can pour out on an empty tank.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. And I love this visual of the empty vase. And as you begin to pour into it, it overflows so that you're being poured into and everything around the cup is being poured mm-hmm. into too. I just love that.
That's right. And you know what's so awesome is next week, if you guys join us next week, my precious friend Sarah, Shelley Chandler is coming, and she's going to do a 2-part series on how you find your identity in Jesus mm-hmm. and what that looks like. And so it's a perfect next step
mm-hmm.
for those of us. And I think if you're married or if you are recovering from any trauma,
mm-hmm.
if you are a mom, a young mom, there's so many seasons of life where we need to remind ourselves who we are and who we are in Christ. And so as we end our time with Sarah and we enter into our time with Shelley, we just want this to be a time where you guys recognize your value and your worth. And it is only from Jesus, and the way he sees you is the truth. Thank you, friend.
Thank you
for sharing. You guys check back in with us, because this is not the last you're going to hear from Miss Sarah here.
Thank you.
And guys, I'm going to put some links to some recovery resources for you so that you are not left hanging. We are going to provide you with some resources and some contacts if you need them. Don't be afraid. Thank you guys for joining us for another On the Journey with Carissa and Friends. And as always, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today.